All right. Mark chapter 4. Share a little simple thought that's on my heart today. Try to talk to you a minute about a thing or two in this Bible. Can't handle so much, so probably a little bit one thing all day. Try to get us a little bit and see what the Lord will do. And just stay on that same theme and come back in here for the second service. St. Mark chapter 4, verse 1 says, "And he began again to teach by the seaside about Jesus. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude. So they entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, listen, Jesus, this is a command of the Lord Jesus Christ. This ain't just of these people sitting here on the seaside today. This is to the people sitting in Living Waters Baptist Church today. Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I don't want to pass that off on this group of people, but I want that to set on the hearts and ears of the people sitting in this congregation today. If you will, look back in verse number 3. And I love this passage of Scripture. I think that it's something that we need to dwell on over and over today in our life and in the church. And verse 3, the Bible says to hearken. And that word hearken means this. It means to hear with the intent of acting. It don't mean that you ought to just come to church and hear things and go home your own merry way. But when you hear the Word of God, whether you're sitting down silently reading it to yourself, there's a spirit involved when you pick up this blessed book. It's a spiritual book. And he will read this scripture to your heart. But when you hear this, he don't want you just to hear it. He wants you to hearken to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, listen to what he's got to say, but don't be listeners or hearers only, but be doers of the word. Amen. Right. He wants us to put some action to the things that we've heard. Hearken, Jesus said. Act upon what you've heard. To act upon what you hear. Verse 4, it says, after you do that, he said, behold, it came to pass as he sowed. And some fell by the wayside. Let me say something. Let me back up in verse 2. Let me look at this real quick. And he taught them many things. I was looking for it and I didn't see it. And here it is in verse 2. Jesus, he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. I wanted to just say this. It's been about 6 months since I've said anything like this. Doctrine matters, ladies and gentlemen. Doctrine matters. I'll be honest with you. If you'll find a weak congregation, you'll find a congregation that doesn't practice doctrine, doesn't preach it, and doesn't hearken to it. Right. Doctrine is something that we need to hearken to. The Bible said that he taught them in his doctrine. They say doctrine divides. That's what the new emerging church says today. And if there's any one thing that weirdo bunch got right, it is that doctrine does divide. And we ought to stand up and say, amen, thank God, and shout hallelujah, that it does divide, because God wants some divisions and some things. That's why he said, come out from among. It ought to divide, amen. That's right. Right doctrine ought to divide. And the reason people can't live holy is because they don't have right doctrine, and they don't practice, and they don't hearken to the doctrines that they've heard. They don't act upon it. Doctrine is very important. You find liberal churches because they don't practice Bible doctrine. Yeah. Preacher don't preach Bible doctrine. And people have wrong living because they have wrong doctrine. That's right. Well, look at verse 4. He said, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured. The explanation of verse 4 is over in verse 14. Look over in verse 14. And 15, it says, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. As you sit here today, and as I preach the word of God, here's what's literally happening, spiritually happening in the sight of God. As I preach here today and you sit there today, I am taking the word of God, or the spirit of God through my preaching is taking the word of God and sowing that seed in your heart. As you sit here today and you receive the words of the blessed word of God, the spirit of God is sowing that seed into your heart. Now, here's the problem. Many times in your life, that word does you absolutely no good. And the reason it's doing you no good is because you've allowed Satan to come in your life and devour the fowls. It's Satan, the devils, they've come and they've taken that very word from you and they've devoured that word. They've consumed it. They've taken. You will never enjoy that. You will never get to be partakers of that. You've allowed the enemy to come and steal it and devour. It's devoured. It's gone. It's gone. Wasn't able to hearken to that because we didn't act upon what we heard. We've allowed the enemy now to come and take that away from us, and it's not going to profit us. You've sat here. How many services in your life have you sat in and wasted your time? Could have been watching Roy Rogers. Could have been working eBay. But you've wasted your time and heard the word of God and let the devil come and take it away from you and devour for absolutely what? Nothing. To no avail, for no profit, for no fruit. No fruit at all. How many times have we had the seed of God sown in our hearts and yet we leave the house of God and give no thought to the things that we've heard? How many times has God touched our heart and it's not made it 10 minutes down the road? How many times has God spoke to us in our private devotion time and it's never went beyond the living room? Or how many times? Because the enemy will come, I promise you, and take that seed away from you. Yeah. Devour it. A seed will never profit you. Never produce any fruit in your life. What will happen when you do this is Satan will come and devour that seed, and so it doesn't benefit us. Listen, what is it going to do? It'll judge you. That word's going to judge you one day. I believe this book is either going to convert people or condemn people. God will use this book to judge us. You understand that God says it's better to face judgment in the dark than it is to face judgment with all this light? Huh? It's better to go to hell, ladies and gentlemen, without your eyes than it is to go to hell with both your eyes. It's better to go to hell with your arms and legs cut off, God said, than it is to go to hell whole. It's better to go to hell ignorant, unlearned, and not knowing about the grace of God. It's good. It's better to go to hell somewhere where you don't get to hear Bible preaching every week than it is to sit in a church every week of your life and die and go to hell. God said you'd be better off not knowing. Tough. Look at verse 5. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Explanation of that is in verse 16 and 17. These are they likewise that are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And boy, I tell you what, many times we do that. We do that very thing. We just receive the word of God with gladness. But watch this. And have no root in themselves. And so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Isn't this something? You can sit in a good church service and you can receive the word of God joyfully. And somebody can say the least little thing and you get all sideways. Isn't that amazing? You know what happened? That word fell on some stony ground. Man, I'm telling you, somebody can say something. Somebody can do something. It's amazing. And you think that it's far-fetched, but I'll be honest with you, folks. There's people sits in this little old country congregation right here that the least little thing can offend them, and the word of God can be preached, and I can say the least little thing about the least little thing, and it, before you know it, somebody's done got plumb sideways and they're offended. Why? Because they've got a stony heart. No death. No death. Seeds falling on stony ground. Verse 6 says this. I ain't trying to deal with none of that. We're just going through it to get where we want to get. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Then he said, some fell among thorns, verse 7. Verse 7 says, some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Look in verses 18 and 19. What's that heat on back, or that air? It's on hot. That's right. Put it on cool. Cold. What is it, Eric? I'm sorry. All right. Stephanie, if it stays hot like this, you might have to walk out for a little bit. Y'all going up a super day. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it and yielded no fruit. And it yielded no fruit. Look at verse 18 and 19. This is what we're trying to get to, church. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Now listen, people that hear the word of God. But what happens when you hear the word of God? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now that's what we want to talk about this morning, the thorns of the heart. Thorns of the heart. You know what you ought to be in here today? Talk to the child of God for a second. You know what every child of God ought to be up in here today? You ought to be a fruitful tree. Right? You ought to be nice and this time of the year, vibrant, full of colors, putting forth your buds, getting ready to produce that fruit, man. It's almost harvest time. Steve, I looked out there at my little old musky dying vine just yesterday. Man, going out there mowing and weed eating around my stuff. And man, looking through that vine and seeing them little bitty premature grapes begin to come out on that vine, just thinking, man, it won't be long, huh? It won't be long. I mean, everything's been done. The stuff has been sowed. The fertilizer's been put out. Everything's been weeded. And I'm telling you, thanks be unto God, it won't be long. The grapes will be popping out on that thing. That's how it is in our life. We hear the word of God. You read over in Isaiah, I believe was it chapter 5, where God said he planted the vineyard. I mean, he's done everything. He dug it. He weeded it. He done it. He planted it. He done everything. He fenced it. He done everything. He said, what more could he done than what he's already done? Nothing else he could do. The rest is up to us. Ladies and gentlemen, many times we sit in a congregation and I'm not the best preacher, and that's okay. I don't give a flip about that. But here's the sad truth, Miss Stephanie. We hear the word of God, whether it's coming from a good delivery or not, we still hear the word of God. But the problem is the thorns of this old heart is choking out the word of God. How much fruit is it produced in your life, huh? How fruitful is your tree? Where are you at with God? I ain't trying to judge you today, but I'd rather for you to take this blessed book and judge yourself. Take a good look at yourself and go, how fruitful am I? What is my life producing? What am I doing for Jesus Christ? Look at verse 8. Others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. One of the ways I am to recognize your salvation, ladies and gentlemen, is through the fruit that you bear. You can't tell a tree by the fruit. I mean, man, I walk up to an orange tree, I know immediately that's an orange tree. Them's oranges growing. Walk up to an apple tree, I know immediately. Hey, I can even tell if they're red apples or green apples. You believe that? I'd even recognize those that's got green and red mixed all together in one apple. It's amazing, isn't it? Say, so what are you talking about? I'm saying we ought to be able to know what you are according to your fruit. And we can know what you are according to the word of God. You can know a tree by its fruit. Now watch this. If I'm saved and my spirit lines up with the Spirit of God and bears witness with the Spirit of God that I'm His, and you're saved and your spirit bears witness with the Spirit of God that you're saved, what do you think your spirit and my spirit's going to do one with another? They're not going to clash. Our spirits is going to get along. Our spirits is going to bear witness with one another that we are the children of God. We'll be able to tell that by the fruit. The fruit. You know what I like, old Brother Allen, the way he says it? No root, no fruit. Just good, simple, country. Corn, cotton field theology right there, huh? Cotton field theology. No root, no fruit. You know why people ain't producing fruit, Eric? It ain't real deep. It ain't real hard. You don't have to go get a master's degree to figure out why people don't have fruit in their life. It's because they ain't got no root. Amen. What is the root? Jesus is the root and the offspring. Hallelujah, David. He's the root, thank God. He's the true vine. He's the branch. I'm telling you, church, thanks be to God. If there's no root, there's no fruit. The reason there is no fruit, listen to me today. The reason you can't produce fruit unto righteousness is because there's no root of righteousness. Right? The root of God's not running through you. The root of God's not in your soul. The root of God's never been embedded in the corridors of your heart. So therefore, it's hard. It's impossible to produce fruits unto righteousness. Look with me, if you will, please, in Psalms chapter 1. We'll get somewhere. There it is. Them are some, y'all got some real, real quiet Bible pages. Y'all's Bible pages are telling secrets. Can't even hear them turn. Psalms 1 says this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, I'm going to read that one more time. Blessed is the man, happy is the man, joyful is the man, fruitful is the man, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that standeth not in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful.
But blessed is the man whose delight is in what?
That book right there, the law of the Lord. Is that your delight? Where's your delight at today? Well, I think we can just close it down right there, saying honest before God.
If we would get serious with God, and I had no intentions of even asking that question until I read that verse, ladies and gentlemen.
But where's your delight? Is it in that book?
Huh? What was the number one thing on your heart, on your mind this morning when you woke up? Well, I got to go to church anyway. Ain't no need to read my Bible. You know what ought to be on your mind. Can I be honest with you? I mean, I know the cares of this world's got us so flippant consumed that we can't hardly think right. But you know what? A man that's got this blessed book as a delight in his heart, he'll wake up in the morning thinking about what a joy it is to be able to go read that blessed book. Amen. Whether you got to rush off or not, man, I'm telling you, when it's your delight, you don't get to read it. God, you miss it. I'm telling you, wish to goodness you could have sat down and read a little bit of something. Why? Because it's your delight. Where's your delight at? Let's move on. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. When? A blessed man meditates in this blessed book day and night. There's never an isolated time where we ought to just set aside and go, okay, well, let's have Jesus time. Jesus time ought to be conscience time whenever you're awake. Amen. Day and night. Pretty good. Man, old David wasn't busy like me. Come on, church. David wasn't busy like me. David didn't have to, go out and make a living. David didn't have to. David, are you kidding me? I don't know if I could walk a couple of miles in that man's sandals, whatever it was they wore. Busy man. He was as busy as all of us. I'd say running that kingdom over there, wouldn't you think? He was pretty busy. I'd say he's pretty busy. But he had time to meditate on the Lord day and night. Pretty good. So lies in the law of the Lord, and his law to meditate day and night, he shall be like a what? Thank you. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. What's that tree doing? Bringing forth its fruit in its season. And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever it does shall prosper. Then he said, the ungodly are not so. Boy, that's easy to see. But are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We see today, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be trees for the Lord. That's what a believer ought to be. We ought to be nice, fruitful, beautiful trees. Man. But you know what? Instead of nice, full, beautiful, fruitful trees, we see a bunch of dead trees. Now, all of us that know anything about going outside, how many times have you men been out there and looked out there in the woods and seen a big, beautiful, grown tree? Well, Eric's living proof. They just they seen it for themselves. You go out there, man, you can have a big, old, beautiful tree, man, been there for years and years, been receiving the riches of the earth and the nutrients and the proteins and everything it takes. I mean, man, to be big and fruitful, producing everything that it produces, and then all of a sudden a little vine springs up out of the ground. Next thing you know, that vine starts wrapping around that tree. It climbs and it wraps and it climbs and it wraps. And the next thing you know, it begins to choke it and suffocate it. And the next thing you know, what once was vibrant and full and fruitful and beautiful is dead now. And that's what I'm trying to get at today. That's what the thorns do in our lives. It kills us. The thorns of the heart will kill us, ladies and gentlemen. These thorns are there. You're born with these thorns. You didn't go to the store to get them. When you was born in sin. You were shaped in iniquity. You was born with this junk in you. Now I'm telling you, that stuff is in your heart. And it takes the Word of God to root it out. It takes the Word of God to plow your heart. It takes the Word of God to clean that heart up. But I'm telling you, friend, if we're not careful, those roots will settle in our hearts and we'll let them things grow. And before you know it, it's choking our life to where our life is not fruitful, our life is not productive, but we're dead men just going through the mechanics of religion. Hmm? Let's going through the mechanics. It's easy to see today. What is these thorns? Seems like trees are dying and the thorns are growing, doesn't it? I mean, look around your church and 5 years ago, and I don't want to get off on this, but 5 years ago, you could have thrown about two or three names out at me, Eric, about some men of God, and I would have stood the ground and said, "Those good men of God." If you'd have told me those men of God would have compromised, if you'd have told me they'd have went and started jamming the lamb, if you'd have went and told me that they'd have sold out to the money and to the crowd, if you'd have told me that they're doing the things that they're doing today, there's no way that I'd ever said, "Yeah, I believe that." But you know what? They're doing it. I mean, in the last 5 years, look at some of the changes that's been made in our churches and in our preachers and in our land.
Yeah.
In the last 5 years, when people's wondering, well, why is the Sodomites prevailing? Because the churches are failing. Are you listening? I said the reason sin is so prevailing is because so many churches are so failing, because the thorns has crept in and they're choking them out and they're just a bunch of monuments of what they used to be. It's not a full tree. It's not a fruitful tree. It's not putting forth its buds. It's not putting off its shade. It's not doing what God intended it to do. But the thorns of the heart begin to choke it. What are them thorns? Bible said it's the cares of the world. It's the cares of the world. Cares of the world. It's the cares of the world that's choking the Word of God out of our lives. The reason the Word can't produce fruit in our life is because the cares of the world is choking it. Man, we all got cares. We live in this thing. The cares of this life is on every hand. This morning, as the word's being preached, the seed's being sown in our heart. But guess what else is there? The cares of the world. The cares of life. They're there too, are they not? We all have cares. We should just never let our cares control us. Can't let them control you. So, preacher, what do I do? How do I keep the cares of this life from controlling me? I'm glad you asked me that. Meditate on His Word day and night. Meditate on it. That's how them thorns don't grow. You have to sit and meditate on the Word. You have to work and have that Word just in your mind. We should be able to meditate on the Word. You'd be amazed at the people that sit in church every week and have their mind on everything but God. I mean, it's amazing how you can sit in a place where a loudmouth preacher just screams and hollers all the time, and yet everybody, not everybody, but people can still have their mind on everything but God. The cares of this life. That's a thorn. Then he said, what else is a thorn? Zach touched it this morning in Sunday school. The deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness of riches. Which one of us don't need money in here today? I mean, which one of us grown-ups has got a bill to pay? And besides Nathan don't need money. He needs a whipping. It takes money to pay our bills, ladies and gentlemen. It takes money to put gas in your car to get to church. It takes money to put gas in your car to get to work. It takes money to pay the light bill. Doesn't it, Jack? He ain't talking about paying your bills. He ain't talking about meeting your needs. He's talking about the deceitfulness of riches. I like what Zach said in Sunday school this morning. You know how many rich people I know that think God can't touch them because of the deceitfulness of their riches? Riches has done fooled them. You know how many people I know that has given their whole life, Steve, their health, their life, their families, everything in this world to obtain riches, thinking if I could just be a millionaire, if I could just be a multimillionaire, if I could just have this money. Blows my mind.
People sacrifice everything in this life that's worth anything, that amounts to anything,
to obtain riches. The deceitfulness. Man, I'd be satisfied if I had me a million. If I could just make me a million. You know what I've often wondered, Matt? I've often wondered why these multimillionaires can't enjoy life. I mean, here I am, a poor old country boy, man. I mean, barely have two nickels to rub together. But I'll tell you one thing. I sure do enjoy life. Amen. I mean, I know how to go fishing. I know how to go hunting. I know how to enjoy things in this whole life. I know how to separate and have some recreation. I know how to get along with my wife. I know how to enjoy the life that God's given me. And we can do a lot of it without a whole bunch of money, friend. But you know what? I found those guys, man, very rare do they ever enjoy life. Greed's done kicked in. Boy, I gotta have some more. Going, man, you wouldn't spend all that money. If you spent money the rest of your life, you couldn't spend all your money. And yet all you want to do is just pile it up and make more money and never do help anybody else out. Nothing wrong with having money. Ain't nothing wrong with paying your bills. But what does your Bible say about working and making money? What does the Bible say about it? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 28 says this. Listen to what God said. Let him that stole steal no more. Pretty good idea, ain't it? Tell you what, man, if you work and make you some money, you don't have to steal. Listen to what God said. Working with his hands, the thing which is good. Why? Why does God want you to work and make money? So you can pile it up in your bank account. So that you can hoard up all that you can have. So that you can buy a bigger house, faster cars, fancier clothes. So you can have all the riches of this world. No, that ain't why God said you were to work and make money. Listen to what he said. That he may give to him that needeth. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that God wants you to work and go make a living so that you can take care of the carnal needs of your life and run across some other fellow that needs help, that's standing in need, that's not blowing his money on sin, but he's doing everything he can, and there's a real need. You understand there's needs all over our land. There's needs all over our country, and yet people want to hoard it up and pile it up and live like they're going to live forever, friend. Deceitfulness of riches. It's choking out the word. I'm telling you, Jesus said it's easier for, and you can go to all the Greek classes you want to, but God said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And I don't give a flip if you're making out of city or whatever. God said it's easier for the rich camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter. Why? Because the deceitfulness of riches done got him fooled. You know how many rich people? I've heard one rich man talk about killing people. Deceitfulness of riches. I can kill them. I can kill them because I got enough money to get by with it. I said, is your last name Clinton? About the only way you're going to be rich enough to kill somebody and get by with it is to be a politician or an ex-president. That's right. You know how many rich people die? I mean, sitting in a prison cell somewhere because they broke the law. Deceitfulness of riches. You can't touch me. I got the money. And yes, money can get you out of a lot. But not with God, friend. Ain't going to get you out of hell. It ain't going to get you out of trouble. Not with God. Well, let's go on. Why does God bless us? Why does God give you a job and give you money? There's nothing wrong, ladies and gentlemen, with nice things. There's nothing wrong. I'm not preaching against it. My goodness, man. Hop in that Toyota with me today and let's hit it to the floor. And I want you to feel what that V8 feels. Ain't nothing wrong with feeling. That's good. I like it. Kick that thing. That thing ain't got but 120 on it. It'll bury it on a mat. God puts money in your life so that you'll act like a little channel. A channel. All that's supposed to do is run through you.
You're supposed to be a channel to other people that's standing in need, other people that needs this, and other people that need. God wants to be a blessing to you so that you can be a blessing to others. And everybody stands to be blessed with God. Right? Blessed is the man.
Let's God use him as a channel of blessings. One of them old timers didn't. I'm thoroughly convinced that them old timers, and I hate to measure God, please try to understand what I'm saying, but I think most of them had more God in that part of their body than most of us do in our entire churches today. Michael, wasn't John Wesley and them people getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning having church? Yes, 4 o'clock in the morning having church. 5 o'clock in the morning, they getting up where they're having church at 3, 4, and 5 o'clock in the morning because they wanted God, friend. You want God that bad? You want God bad enough to roll up out of your bed, go down there, and stand in an old open field or some little old building dilapidated, something nasty somewhere, and let some preacher preach the devil out of you at 3 o'clock in the morning for hours on end? Do you want him that bad? It's amazing, isn't it?
We wonder why they had God and we don't.
We can't hardly get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and spend an hour at the feet of Jesus anymore. Much less get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go have church.
Hey, I was thinking about it yesterday. Mama, you remember it. When I was a boy, would y'all believe that America was so stupid? When I was a boy, we had 24-hour church. Would you believe that we would go down at Ralph Sexton Senior's and they would have church all night long? Would you believe that? Preacher after preacher after preacher. All night long. Not that he cut it off at 1. They called Billy Kelly up at 1. They didn't cut it off at 3. They called another preacher at Mays Jackson. Come on up here. You're going to preach a while. All night long. They had concessions down there behind the church. You get hungry, you walk out of the church while the preaching, the church is going on. Go down there and get you something to eat. Get you something to eat if you want to take a nap. They had beds. You can lay down there and take you a nap for 30 minutes. Get up. They have the church when you get up. Now, I ain't talking about junior, but Ralph Sexton Sr. had something most of us don't know nothing about today.
Them old boys sought after God. I'm talking about fruitful. I'm talking about these trees. Well, I ain't going to get nowhere. What's another thorn? He said the lust of other things. We talk about them other things. What are them other things? Would you believe that a relationship with somebody could be one of them other things? A relationship. Would you believe the wrong relationship can kill you spiritually with God? It chokes the word.
I mean, you got a preacher, he preaches his heart out. You got a Bible that's true up one side and then the other.
Jesus Christ is walking across every page of that King James Bible. Open it up. That's him right there. Flip the page and you'll watch Jesus skip from one page to the next. But you can enter into the wrong relationship, lust of other things. You can get in the wrong relationship and it doesn't matter what's printed on that page.
Never produce any fruit in their life. Watch these little old girls. And we've seen children grow up before our eyes for several years. And man, they come in here and they love me. And I mean, I preach, I can say some mean things and harsh things and ugly things. And man, 2 seconds after I say man in the closing prayer, I got kids up here wrapping themselves around my leg. And I mean, man, I can't hardly walk. And I thank God, I rejoice in that. That's a joy to me. And you watch them grow up, Eric, and they get with the wrong people. And you watch kids just kind of start sliding back from you. And they start shunning you. Then they start missing. And then they're completely out. Why? Because things just crept in and stole the seed from their hearts. Choked it. And thorns. And thorns.
Let me say this. We're planning on heading to Black Creek in a couple of weeks. And I want everyone listening
that plans on being there. Listen to me. If you're part of this church or part of the internet listening world, you're wasting your money and your time if you're just going to let the thorns choke that word. If you're not willing to get rid of the thorns, if you're not willing to do business with God, if you're not willing to handle it the way God wants it handled, I'm telling you, friend, you're wasting your time and your money and everything else that's involved. Do you really want to do that? Do you really want to spend the money when you just go, piss on it, I'm not going to live it? Do you really want to spend the time when you just say, forget that, I'm not going to live that? I mean, when you let the cares of this world and the lust of other things and the deceitfulness of riches consume your heart, consume your mind, consume your life, are you really thinking that it's worth it? It's not worth it. I'm trying to encourage you by saying that, for God's sake, let's get the thorns out. He said, it's up to you. It's not up to me. It's not up to your neighbor. It's not up to your spouse. It's your responsibility how to cultivate your heart. It's your responsibility how to get in that blessed book and let God plow up your heart, break up the fallow ground. It's your responsibility. Just saying, we'll never see any type of revival in our life until we begin to let God's Word do its job in our heart. Did you hear me? You'll never see any kind of revival in your life until you begin to let God's Word take root in your heart. Right? Be a happy day when individuals begin to hearken to the Word of God. Don't just listen. Don't just hear it. But put some action to the things that you've heard. Take the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard. Man, start acting upon what you heard. Start doing what God has put on your heart and what God has said to you through the seed of His Word. You know what happens, Michael? When we begin to get the thorns out and the Word begins to take root, instead of us going to a meeting, we begin to have meetings. Instead of calling an evangelist in and having a meeting, we have revival. There's a difference. There's a difference between a preacher showing up. There's a difference between us traveling across the country to go somewhere, man, and just saying, boy, we had us a good meeting. There's a difference between having a good meeting and meeting with God. There's a difference, church, in having a good meeting down here and having a meeting with God. When's the last time we met with God? Way too many times I beat myself up. Many times I'm perplexed. But then I realize there's nothing wrong with a seed. Ain't nothing wrong with that seed. That's a precious seed. Hallelujah. That's a good seed, ladies and gentlemen. You'll never have a seed any better than that one. That's the best there is. That's the seed. There's nothing really wrong with a sower. I'm not the best preacher, Eric, and that's fine. I don't want to be. But it ain't about me. What's the problem, babe? It's the soul. So I get perplexed, I get troubled, I get bothered, I beat myself up, and I get to thinking, what's wrong? Why ain't we fruitful? Why ain't we growing? Why are we still here? Why is there no production? Why? And I go, well, it ain't nothing wrong with the seed. And yeah, there's a lot of improvements that I can make. But I'll tell you what, it ain't about me. It's about that soul. Got to get that soul right. Got to get the thorns out. Got to get the thorns out. Preacher, you ain't making much sense to me. Well, I know this is 2017, so I'll bring it down to us, okay? Ow. You know how hard it is anymore in America? Listen to me. Do you know how hard it is in America to go 30 minutes without a phone?
the lust of other things.
You know how hard it is to go 30 minutes without a stupid phone in America anymore? Wouldn't it be something if we had that kind of desire for the things of God? Wouldn't it be something if we could meditate on His Word and couldn't go 30 minutes without meditating? Come on, let's just be real. Wouldn't that be something? I wonder how many of us have meditated upon the Word today in all, period. But I can promise you one thing, we've probably all checked them phones. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the thorns, the lust of other things entering into our heart. The Word of God's doing us absolutely no good because we're so consumed with lust of other things. Zach talked about it a little bit this morning. Most people can't go 30 minutes without checking emails. They can't handle a computer. Can't handle their laptops. Isn't it amazing we can't go 30 minutes anymore without having to sit down in front of a TV? You say, not me. There's a lot of people that does. Talking about thorns of the heart. You know what I mean? You know how many people, ladies and gentlemen, cannot get in their car and ride down the road without turning that stupid radio on? Now, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just me having bad nerves or I'm just grumpy or what it is, but I hate to hear a bunch of noise all the time coming out of a radio. Just gets on my nerves. But, Miss Debbie, isn't it amazing that we can't hardly ride down the road without having to turn that stupid thing on and having some kind of racket, something going all the time when there's thorns? That's just lust of other things. I mean, that's just the thorns growing. What'd be wrong with sitting down and being still and knowing for them few miles going down the road something about God? Meditating on something that we got out of the blessed Word of God. It's hard to do that kind of stuff, y'all, with all that junk going on. It's hard to meditate. It's hard to focus on God when all this other stuff's going on. Nothing wrong with good gospel music, but it won't take you about 5 minutes to listen to all the good gospel music that's played on the radio in a 24-hour period. I said it'll take you about 5 minutes to listen to the good music that's played in a 24-hour period. Then you'll be able to turn it off and meditate on the Lord. Meditate on His law. I understand that some people use this stuff. Some people use their phones for business. Some people use their phones for their careers. But can I be honest with you? Why don't you use your phone like everybody else does their job? I punch in the morning, I punch out in the evening. I don't have to stay on my stinking phone all my conscious hours of the day. Well, I got to... No, you're not. You're consumed with the thorns of this old heart. Turn that stupid junk off for about 30 minutes. Why don't you punch out at the end of the day and go home and kiss your husband, kiss your wife, kiss your children, turn the world off, pay them attention, and gather around the family and honor God for a little while? Because I got to make a sale. No, you don't. You got to fertilize them thorns is what you got to do. Turn that junk off for a minute. Meditate on the Lord. Everybody in America was built punching a clock and punching out on the clock. Why do we have to operate 24 hours a day now? Got to feed them thorns. Thorn food.
I sit and watch kids plumb out of control. And I go, I think the kids need the devil stomped out of them and say, stupid mom and daddy. Yeah. Kids can't sit at a table without grabbing everything in hand's reach, or to have their high end beat. Don't touch everything. Set your tail still. Be grown up, say a word. The only people you can hear is a bunch of youngins. Because mom and daddy somewhere, bless God, making a sale or playing on Facebook, or got some kind of technological information in their hand. But the kids is running wild. Feeding them thorns. Now masks got to the point to where we can't even control our children, so we just give them to them. You take the phone.
You take the computer. Why don't you turn your job off at about 4:30 or 5 o'clock?
Why don't you just turn your job off and honor God? Be a blessing, wouldn't it?
You know what, man? You work like a dog. And you,
hey, man, I don't feel like working much past 5 o'clock anymore. I'm too tired.
too tired. Steve, we pulled some of them all-nighters before. But you know what, church?
I've done plumbing. I've done electrical. I've done all kind of things. I've laid tile. I've went in these businesses after hours. I've done all kind of things after hours. Businesses shut down. You know what? I found my home usually suffered from my neglect. Because I focused so hard on working around this clock and getting all this done. My family was the one that was suffering.
I'm watching families grow apart. I'm watching families grow apart. Unattached from each other. Kids are out of control. But I can tell you one thing, we got nicer vehicles than we've ever had. Huh? By golly, we're gonna put our feet on the nicest carpet that they make. Scotch Guard. Stain proof. Be good to go back to some old plywood. Have God versus Scotch Guard. Yeah. And no God. Nothing wrong with having nice things, church. But there ought to be some temperance and some moderation. These things ought to be done right. Ought to be done godly. Ought to be done according to the Word of God. Give me just a few more minutes, please. I was just riding down the road last night, and Matt was with me. I'll be honest, we was going to the Redneck Festival. The races. Because we're rednecks. By the time we got going down 40, Michael, we could look over there, just over the ridges and stuff, you could see Bowling Gray Stadium sitting over there. From I-40, you can see a clear shot of it. It's about a mile away, sitting over on Highway 52. And it was sunshiny and clear everywhere, y'all. There was a cloud looming over that racetrack, and you could tell it was dumping right on the racetrack. And I told him, I said, look at that, it's amazing. It's just raining right there where we're on the go. We got off the exit, started going that way. About a mile before we got there, whatever it was, when we got off the exit, Matt jumped on his computer and said, Dad, they canceled the race. Canceled the race. I said, okay. Well, then we started hitting that traffic, and I went, hell. Went to college and spent all that money, and you know, wish you could have told me this before we got into traffic.
It was sunny everywhere else, literally.
Sunny everywhere, what?
Yeah.
People line the streets out there, the back of rednecks, cars, you know, got them big tires and no mufflers and busting wind, Confederate flag. You would think it was a Confederate flag rally. And this is in the heart of the dark side of Winston-Salem. I mean right there in the heart of it. All them rednecks down there. I'll be honest with you, this stuff we're seeing on the news, it ain't so. If it was as bad as it said it was, they would be cars tore all to pieces, there'd be fights breaking. The black people and the white people in Winston-Salem, they're doing just fine. Don't buy into all this hate you see on the TV and you hear in the news media. It ain't nearly as bad as they're making out. They want us to hate and be at war with each other. It ain't nearly as bad as they make out, okay? Them rednecks and dead are whooping and hollering. Ain't nobody bothering a thing. They're all just killing themselves. Nonetheless, they line the street up there, Steve, and they're back in, you know, man. Who can get in the tightest spot? Who can put their car on the side of the hill? I mean, they put on shows just parking. And I watched it, man, the crowds was a-piling out. Me and Matt, we drove through the heart of that crowd, and people was a-piling out. We were laughing. We were laughing. Everybody was getting rained on. Look, man. Look, I mean, there was water everywhere. They was crossing the street. There was a river running down there. People was trying to jump over it. They was splashing, getting water up to their ankles. And I sat there and I watched. I'm talking about being unattached. Families growing apart. People going chaotic over there. A man's walking down the street, got two kids the size of Nathan and Benji back there. A dude sitting over here in a Jeep Cherokee, big old jacked up redneck Jeep, and he's trying to get out. And I'm watching him come down the sidewalk, and that daddy is way ahead of his children. There's no way you can see them children over the hood of that Jeep.
I sat there about had a panic attack, man, watching. I went, my God, please don't let that Jeep pull out. I'm glad he seen them children come. I see it all the time, Eric. And these mamas and daddies are walking around on these stinking internets and stuff like that, and their children's dragging 20 foot behind them or 5 foot behind them. It doesn't matter. It's far enough behind them where they're detached from them, and anything in the world could happen. Instead of people taking care of their children and families anymore. It was spooky looking, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Boy, if that old redneck would have been tanked up and gassed that thing, man, I could just see them kids getting squashed. And that daddy, what? Come on, come on, come on. I tell you what, how about getting back there and getting your children? Huh? Because God, he wouldn't leave his phone laying behind him like that. You can't go to church anymore without... Listen, I use my phone for this internet stuff. So we can record this thing and send it up there to Black Creek. Listen, church, you can't hardly go to church anymore without seeing a bunch of phones flying everywhere. And ain't nothing wrong with taking pictures and recording and whatever you want to do. But dear God, this stuff's killing us. It's choking us. You be honest with yourself. You don't have to tell me. God, I know what it's like. You want to check your emails. You want to check your Facebook. Whatever it is that people check, they want to get on there and do it. My only point is, that has become more important to us than spending time with Jesus. We're more faithful and adamant about that stuff than we are meditating upon His Word. I'm not going to finish. I'll have to finish later. You know what most of America's consumed with? Would somebody please say amen or throw a songbook at me if I'm wrong? Most people's more concerned about being followed on Facebook or like, whatever it is, than they are learning the Bible verse this week. How many people followed me? Eat up with that stupid junk. We're eat up with who likes us. We're eat up with who unlikes us, whatever it is. I don't even understand how this stuff works. You know what would be better? All I'm trying to say, Eric, if we would just be followers of Christ. Wouldn't that be something? And wouldn't care, couldn't care less who liked us. Couldn't care less on Facebook who followed us. Couldn't care less who retweeted us. And couldn't care less. Man, just have a relationship with Jesus. Huh? Let me ask you a question, church, and I don't mean to browbeat you, and I ain't trying to browbeat you. I just don't know how to say things. When's the last time you've been more interested over a scripture than you was something on that technology? Something in social media. I would to God that the people that hear the Word of God would say to hell with this stuff. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. I don't even talk about fasting from food anymore. God, I don't want to get killed. People will kill you over that today. But if we could just fast from technology for a day and spend that time with Jesus Christ, it'd make all kind of difference if we would hearken to it. Church, we're about to go to a meeting, and I sure would like to have a personal revival with God. And I sure would like to see this church get help. I don't want anybody to go to New York and come back empty. It's an awful lot of money. It's an awful lot of time. You're going to spend money going up there. You're going to lose money by taking off of work. But you know what? It don't have to be a waste. Man, you can literally have your revival meeting with God. You can come back with something that this world cannot give. You can come back with something that's going to last for all eternity. You can come back with something that's not going to burn up. Like wood, hay, and stubble. But it'll be precious. That's right. You can come back with that. A real relationship. Something that you can sink your teeth in. Something that matters. I'll quit right there. It's 12:26. And we'll look at Joel on the second part of this service on these same thoughts. The way Joel said it. Joel said it in a different way. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege, the opportunity to share your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to realize, God, the thorns of our heart is choking out the Word of God, where it's not able to run its course in our life, in our homes. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, God, to weed out the thorns. And I pray, dear God, we'd apply God's Roundup, the Word of God, to our hearts, and we'd hearken to it. Help us, oh God, to get rid of the lust of other things, and Lord, the cares of this world, and shun the deceitfulness of riches. Help us, Father, we pray. Bless the food we're about to eat. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, boy.
Oh, I took them off?
Hey, boy.